One, two, three, four, one. Sitting outside, even if quietly. Losing someone's always hard. So when we break up, let's have a picnic in the graveyard. No one likes to be in less than one piece. So put my heart, valves, and limbs back in order, please. When you bury me, when you bury me. Sunrise and set were supposed to be pretty, not just a flashing glare in the eyes, to be watched as a reflection of the water. I want to go back inside. Losing someone's always hard. So when we break up, let's have a picnic in the graveyard. No one likes to be in less than one piece, so put my heart, valves, and limbs back in order, please. When you bury me, when you bury me. Should we compose an epitaph? Have a session on necromancy? Well, did you want to bring something back? Instead of just somebody. Losing someone's always hard. So when we break up, let's have a picnic in the graveyard. No one likes to be in less than one piece. So put my heart, valves, and limbs back in order, please. When you bury me, when you bury me. When you bury me, when you bury me. When you bury me.
Hi, I'm Philip.
Hi, I'm Matt.
First we'll have a little chat.
Then put on our ring brothers.
Now it's time for Next at Bat.
And we're here today with Misery Street. Hi, Misery Street.
Hi, Matt.
What up?
Misery Street is made up of two people. Amy, how do you pronounce your last name?
Oh, that's my middle name, actually. It's Leray, after both of my grandfathers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Amy Leray. And what is your actual last name?
Brown.
Brown. So, Amy Leray is your stage name.
Yes.
And our very own Philip Simondet.
That's right. I'm in this band.
That's right. So,
I'm going to actually talk during the interview this time.
Yep. Remember when you said you never wanted to get interviewed?
Oh my God, I did say that like last episode.
Something like that.
Jesus Christ, I didn't realize this was going to happen.
Yeah, and so now your worst nightmare is about to happen.
Yep.
So no sitting on the sidelines for 22 minutes.
Well, Amy talks a lot, so we'll see if I have to talk before 22 minutes.
Fair enough. I'll see you in 22 minutes.
Okay.
Good start. All right, so... Misery Street. How did you two guys form up, and what was kind of the idea of, I mean, you're both musicians and you're both solo musicians. What was the idea of forming up as a duo? And tell me a little bit about what you guys do.
I had started attending the open mic at the Chatterbox Pub on 35th Street and 23rd Avenue. And I had seen Philip there as a regular, and I had noted some of his material was kind of, you know, I liked it. Mm-hmm. And I approached him on it, and I was like, do you want to work together? Because I think some of our material would go good together, potentially on an EP or an album or something like that. So do you want to form up and look into doing that? And Philip said, sure. And we started hanging out after that and looking into what material we had that could go together. Mm-hmm. And it basically went from there.
Were you performing at the Chatterbox too at the time?
Yes.
Okay.
I was there as a regular, and then I started hosting.
Yeah, she's back hosting currently.
For the next 2-3 weeks. Anyway.
Two more weeks she's hosting, and then I'm taking over. I'll be hosting the open mic at the Chatterbox on Tuesday nights. 3 more weeks?
Yes, 3.
There's 3 more weeks.
I'm milking that for all it's worth. I am poor. But yeah, that was essentially how it started. And at one point, I was like, well, if we do any more projects in the future, because we do have an EP planned right now. Mm-hmm. I'm like, we need a band name. So we tossed a few ideas around, and which I'm sure Philip can elaborate on. But I eventually had the name Misery Street. Just came into my head one day as I was biking, and I'm like, hey, how about this? And Philip's like, eh, whatever.
I yes answered it. I was like, fine. That's the name of the band. That's fine. Misery Street.
I mean, we struggled over this for so long. It was just a torturous process.
Then it seems perfectly appropriate that you ended up with Misery Street.
Well, it came about because the songs that we play are the more serious, sad, depressing mm-hmm. songs.
Not emo, per se, because I can already tell that people are going to think that. It's kind of like somewhere between folk and anti-folk. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little bit of rock, but I guess that would depend on the musical arrangement that we're able to come up with. But yeah, there are some heavy topics.
Because people know my music, there's half.
Yeah. Well, you have two different sides.
I definitely have two different, completely different sides. There's like necrophilia you up. There's a lot of like adult content humor songs.
Plays on words and things like that. And then there's...
And then the other half is like...
I'm depressed for all time.
is broken heart songs.
Yeah.
So that's what Amy's songs are more like. So we collaborate more on the broken heart side.
Well, it's... My songs tend to vary. I notice in my writing I use a lot of metaphors and things like mm-hmm. that. But when it comes to Misery Street, it's more along the lines of being really cynical mm-hmm. and really just... I mean, yeah, there is like the sad side, there's the heavy side, but... There's also a little bit of where we make fun of topics. Like, I wrote a song called I'll Die in the Morning. And that actually stemmed out of being really sick one night when Philip was giving me a ride home from open mic. And I was, like, coughing all over the place. And he was like, don't die on me. And I'm like, I'm going to turn that into a song. Because I remember my exact reply to him was, like, I'll die in the morning. Which was, yeah, there's the whole thing behind that. But it essentially makes fun of death in
a
way.
That is the whole thing behind it.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, now that I've ranted for like 5 minutes.
No, that's what an interview is. What is... you talked a little bit about coming up with that particular song. What has been the writing process for the two of you? I mean, do you come up with songs on your own, or do you sit down and write collectively? How does that work?
We haven't written a song collectively yet. We hope to in the future, but right now it's all just songs that we already had. Or are currently writing on our own?
We debated doing that, actually, because when we've gone to open mics, we've been asked several times if we're dating, and we actually came up with the idea. We were like, we should write a song titled Philip and Amy Are Not Dating, and then I was like, well, if we write that, then people are going to take that as like a joke, and they're going to be like, oh, you guys are dating, and so we scrapped that idea, and we're just like, no.
We're not dating.
No.
We will never be
dating. Just to clear that up. So yeah, it was considered, but then scrapped.
Yeah, half the songs.
It's more of a White Stripes thing where you used to be married.
And we used to be brother and sister.
Right.
I don't know. No one knows what the true story is there. No, ours is way more simple. We're just not dating. yeah, half the songs I wrote, half the songs she wrote, but then we mm-hmm. play them together.
Okay.
We duet them a little bit. Try to collaborate a little bit more.
We try to find ways to fit both of us into it. Like, and actually, this was something that I noticed that another duo does, and I've brought this duo up to Philip like multiple times. The Milk Carton Kids, who consist of two guys who basically just play guitar and they harmonize beautifully together. Mm-hmm. But what I noticed is that they both had their, like us, they both had their own individual material before combining that duo. So what we do essentially is when we have a song that we've written, like, let's say, for example, with I'll Die in the Morning, for example, I'll mm-hmm. sing the verse and Philip will harmonize with me
along with
on
it.
The mm-hmm.
On the chorus?
On the chorus, yes. Or rather, I'll harmonize with him because he'll take over the lead melody and mm-hmm. I'll do the harmonies.
But we also try to, like, add a second guitar part.
Yeah.
And Amy plays piano.
A little bit.
Eventually, she's going to play her viola.
if I more. Get more practice in. Yeah, I started that at age 11 and mm-hmm. had a few years of lessons. Not as many as I would have liked, but I'm decent. So that's something.
Cool. I've heard a few bands that have used viola very effectively. Rex from Chicago comes to mind.
I'm literally writing that down right now.
Yeah, you should. So I was listening to some of your stuff online, and it did remind me of modern folk music. I don't know. How would you already characterized yourself as sort of folk, sort of anti-folk, sort of rock. Can you dig a little bit deeper into what your sound is or what you're really shooting for?
Can you?
It kind of varies, I think, from song to song. Like, I mean, we're starting with the bare bones structure of, okay, what songs do we have that can fit together? Because, I mean, we both have our individual styles, too. Like, I'm... Sure. Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't call guitar my strong point, but, you mm-hmm. know, if I learn to play chords, you know, that fits together, you know, it's sort of more like a folk side for me. And Philip's a bit more advanced for that with guitar, but...
Not that much more.
Well, more than me. But his lyrics are quite different in some aspects from mine. So it's trying to find, you know, songs that we've written already, because we haven't collaborated on anything yet. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But as far as style goes, I mean, we're still working on that. Like, it's a thing of what do we have, what can we work with, and what do we think. We've said this very often. Does it sound good?
Mm-hmm.
I think it sounds good. Okay, we'll go with that. So, I mean, with songs like Shoot the Moon, that's kind of like slow and folky, and then you have, and I'm going back to the song again, but I'll Die in the Morning, which is like a more driven, more aiming for a rock sound, maybe?
Yeah, it's definitely faster, louder, yeah. Bigger. I think what's true for both of us is it's always lyrics driven.
Mm-hmm.
Very.
Always, definitely, yeah. Almost entirely write the lyrics first and then just try to put it to music.
For me, it's a little bit different. I write my lyrics and my melody at the same time. But again, that's separate from the actual musical arrangement. And I get really snobby on this whenever I bring this up to people that I'm explaining it to. But you probably both know this. But for people who don't know, there is a difference between the lyrics and the melody and the arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that could, you know, which would depend on what instruments you're playing, what tempo you take it at, things like that, which in turn can, you know, influence the sound and therefore influence or, you know, that in turn can determine what so-called genre it can fit under. Like, you can do a song in several different styles. It's still the same song.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, yeah, whatever the lyrics are about kind of helps guide if it's going to be more of a rockin' song or a slow ballad kind of thing.
Definitely.
And they're always word heavy with basic chords behind them.
Pretty much. Because the focus isn't on the instrumental for us right now. It's on the lyrics.
It's on the storytelling aspect.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
This is a question for Philip.
Okay.
Yes.
Philip. Since you have an improvisational background, do you ever use improv in creating songs?
Not yet. I mean, I have a long time ago, but I haven't when I used to jam with my friend Steve from high school. What do you? You can't answer, Amy. This is for me. So I haven't yet, but I'm working on that actually soon. You gonna keep doing finger puppets over there?
I take it back. This is a question for both of you. Philip, answer first.
What I have noticed, how improv has leaked into this process with Amy, is that she'll get mad at me for saying yes too many times, because I'll be like, well, why don't you just like play some piano parts while I do this? And she'll be like, oh, how about this? And I'm like, yeah, try that. She's like, well, what about this? I'm like, oh, yeah, that's cool, too. I'm like, oh, what about this other thing? I'm like, yeah, let's try it. And she's like, pick one. It's like, I'm yes-anding it. Let's find out.
You're like, they all work.
They're all fine. They're all good.
They're all going to do something.
Try them. We'll pick one, the best one later, but try them all.
Right.
And she gets frustrated with that sometimes. Well,
for me, it's the thing of like when when you're trying to solidify an arrangement, and of course nothing has to be solid, like I change up stuff when I play all the time, but when I think when you're trying to establish yourself in some kind of way, you have to have, you know, you have to stick with something because people are going to get used to hearing it. So that's mainly what it is for me, especially if you're planning to record it right later, like we are.
So, so is it having a more critical eye during that process?
Definitely.
Okay. Which is fair.
I think that there, I can see both perspectives, and I can see how both could be effective.
I'm a pretty heavy critic in that aspect.
I think you just need to try everything and then pick.
Yeah,
which is what we're
pretty
doing.
Pretty much.
It's what we're doing.
Cool. So what are the aspirations for the band? I know that you guys want to cut an EP, and that's probably not going to happen this summer. But I know that you have a bunch of stuff up on YouTube, and you're probably going to get some more stuff up on YouTube.
Yeah.
And I'll let you pimp that YouTube channel here in a minute. but what do you want to do ultimately? Like, what's the end goal for you?
Man, I don't even think we've looked that far. Cause,
what's the medium goal for you?
I would say, you know, like you mentioned before, get that EP out. Try and build a mm-hmm. local fan base and take it from there and see where it goes. Obviously, write more songs and maybe come out with... Oh, we did talk about doing a full-length album eventually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the original goal was to make an EP. And then we were doing that for a while and we're like, well, let's just be a band so we can keep going. She's moving to Duluth at the end of the month. Yep. And so... But, I mean, that's not that far.
Yeah, I'm coming mm-hmm. back because I'm going there for school. I'm a theater arts major, and I'm going to be minoring in music, which will be nice because then I can, you know, come back with more knowledge and skills for the band, as well as my own work.
We'll just keep putting stuff up on YouTube, try to record an album, just see what we can do and
when she comes back. Essentially.
Are you hoping to play shows or?
Oh yeah, I brought that up. Sorry to interrupt.
On the way over here,
that's fine.
Yeah, on the way here, I was like, you know, if we have time when I come back after my first semester, I was like, maybe we should try and book a show around town, like maybe at the Acadia or Precision Grind, mm-hmm. or you know, somewhere local like that.
We've played at like open mics, not just Chatterbox, but like Plums and St. Paul.
Yeah, we've played at Plums a couple times. That was fun.
Farmers Market in Richfield.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
we've done a little bit playing together out.
Sure,
we'll do more.
The problem is trying to attract a crowd right now.
Right.
Especially with our material and what audience we could, you know, aim that towards.
Right, and I suppose that takes A, getting something out there, and B, playing with some consistency.
Yeah.
And do you guys want to remain a duo, or are you hoping to add other instruments, or what are you thinking?
Oh, we've talked about doing that because, like, obviously I can't play piano and guitar at the same time.
Pretty hard.
And it'd be nice to have somebody that can really play guitar. Like, we're both mediocre guitar players at best.
No, I'd say we're okay on that.
We're upper middle class guitar players, maybe.
But I was thinking it would be nice to bring in maybe like a bass player, mm-hmm. or you know, another string player of some kind would be nice. Because I can do both viola and guitar in the recordings, but not on stage. Mm-hmm. Also, we brought up bringing in a drum player. Mm-hmm. So
some rhythm.
Yeah, I mean you don't need one, but I mean for some of our songs it would be nice, I think.
Well, I notice in some of your songs you liberally stop the rhythm for like at certain points.
Yeah, dramatic pauses.
Yeah, dramatic pauses because you're not really confined by a rhythm section. Mm-hmm. At least that's kind of what it seems like because it's two guitars, two vocalists, and you don't have that to, I guess for lack of a better term, deal with.
Yeah.
Have you noticed that? Is that
definitely
okay?
Yeah.
Like there have been times when we have played with like there's a sit-in bass player at Plums, and there's another place we went that had like a drums and guitar player and mm-hmm. available behind you.
Yeah.
And so whenever I have played with a group like that, I always notice how much I don't play in rhythm.
Yeah.
I think it's because you know I've spent so many years trying to hide the fact that I'm not a great guitar player, but you know, and so I do everything that I can think of to kind of make it seem cooler than it actually is when I'm playing guitar. And then also dramatic pauses, especially on, you know, certain songs mm-hmm. with a lot of serious feelings, like they can really
enhance
yeah. it. Yeah, playing with the dynamics of that.
Well, I mean, it's funny. Yeah, I mean, you say you don't necessarily play in rhythm, but when you're just listening to the songs as you record them, it sounds like you're perfectly in rhythm. Because you're establishing the rhythm for yourself. I mean, you're setting the rules.
Right.
So yeah.
I think it's just hard when people don't actually know the song where we normally pause kind of yes. thing. It's hard for people to just sit in and play along.
And then it just sounds like somebody's fucking up somewhere. Yeah.
And that's on me. That's my fault.
It's a bit easier, I think, for me because like I studied music from a very young age mm-hmm. to the point of like clapping out rhythms and stuff like that. So it's a little easier for me.
And it's been 22 minutes, so
has it really?
Philip, I'd like to invite you back to the podcast.
Oh, thank you. I'm now co-hosting.
Because now's the time in the show where I'd like to throw the microphone over to my good friend Philip Simondet for a brand new segment that we have called Philip's Corner.
Welcome to Philip's Corner. Amy, you don't know this. Philip's Corner is the part where I take over and I get to ask the questions because I'm bad at asking questions. So what's going to happen is I'm going to stare at you awkwardly.
Hey, Philip?
Yeah.
I was wondering if maybe you should ask both of our guests a question.
I have to answer. I have to answer too? Oh, good Lord. Philip and Amy, I'm going to stare at you awkwardly and ask you a question. There's actually a mirror behind Amy.
Yes! So
this is actually working.
It works. I was about to say, should I get one?
Amy and Philip.
Yes.
How many different types of women's shirts can you name? Philip will start. Halter top. Amy?
Blouse.
Tank top.
Tops. Oh, boy. I'm going to come out with it. I just hate clothes. Corset?
Straight jacket.
Oh, sorry. I shouldn't have
laughed. Oh, that's fine.
Straight jacket?
All right, I guess the answer was three. Philip and Amy. Philip and Amy.
Next question.
Yep. Philip and Amy. Who's a powerful woman in your life and tell a story about them?
Myself, thank you very much.
Wow.
You asked. A story.
I'll start. I'm going to say my mother did a great job of raising me to think that everything should be equal. Like, my parents have a very equal sharing relationship. They specifically, you know, we're like, you know, we both have to cook dinner. We both have to clean. We both have to do all the things. It's a partnership. Equalness. What? Equalness? It's a word.
Well, it's a word. It's not a correct word.
Google it.
Shakespeare can invent 1,000 words. I can invent one.
10,000.
All right, I'll invent two then. The next word I'm going to invent is shindango. That's an Australian shindig.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
That one sounds right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess my answer would actually be my older sister, Bethany. Good role model, hard worker, all that jazz. Set high standards, which was a good example to follow for me. So
cool. I'll have one final question for Matthew.
What?
Matthew.
Yes. The awkward stare.
Yeah, it's the awkward part. How much hair do you like on an animal? You can pick whatever animal you want.
That makes it a very open-ended question.
Yeah. Actually, let's go through every animal.
Okay. Starting with aardvarks.
Aardvark.
Aardvark. I like him as hairy as possible.
Is there hair on an aardvark? So yeah, as hairy as possible is no hair.
Right.
Okay. Armadillo.
Armadillo. Bald.
Okay, and that brings us to zebra.
Zebra. Buzz cut?
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah. Zebras with a buzz cut? Badass.
I'm into it. All right, thank you so much. That has been Phillip's Corner.
That was it?
That was it.
Dang.
All right, you guys want to play some music?
Yeah.
Woo! Next up, Pat! Well, the first one I've mentioned several times, and it's called I'll Die in the Morning. 1, 2, 3, 4. Harmonizing like in the chorus, and I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to do that.
This next one's a cover. We're gonna play Freshman by The Verve.
So we obviously did not write this one. The Verve Pipe.
We're gonna play this next one is a cover. We're gonna play Freshman
by The Freshman.
We're gonna play The Freshman
by The Verve.
Verve Pipe. Thank you.
took advice. Now I'm guilt-stricken, sobbing with my head on the floor. Stop a baby's breath and a shoe full of rice. No, can't be held responsible. She was touching her face. Won't be held responsible. She fell in love in the first place. For the life of me, I cannot remember who made us think that we were wise and we'd never compromise. For the life of me, I cannot believe we'd ever die for these sins. We were merely freshmen. My best friend took a week's vacation to forget her. This girl took a week's worth of Valium and slept, and now he's guilt-stricken, sobbing with his head on the floor. Take some part in knowing how he never really wept, and he says, can't be held responsible. She was touching her face. Won't be held responsible. She fell in love in the first place. For the life of me, I cannot remember who made us think that we were wise and we'd never compromise. For the life of me, I cannot believe we'd ever die for these sins. We were merely freshmen. Talk of our lacking relationships. Now we're guilt-stricken, sobbing with our heads on the floor. We fell through the ice when we tried not to slip, we said. Can't be held responsible. She was touching her face. Won't be held responsible. Fell in love in the first place. For the life of me, I cannot remember who made us think that we were wise and we'd never compromise. For the life of me, I cannot believe we'd ever die for these sins. We were merely freshmen.
This next one is
called Burial.
It's Amy's hit. Everyone
yes.
loves it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1.
Someone's always hard. So when we break up, let's have a picnic in the graveyard. No one likes to be in less than one piece. So put my heart, valves, and limbs back in order, please. When you bury me, when you bury me. I thought sunrise and set were supposed to be pretty. Just a flashing glare in the eyes, to be watched as a reflection of the water. I want to go back inside. Losing someone's always hard. So when we break up,
Let's have a picnic in the graveyard. No one likes to be in less than one piece. So put my heart, valves, and limbs back in order, please. When you bury me, when you bury me. A session on necromancy. Well, did you want to bring something back instead of just somebody? Losing someone's always hard. So when we break up, let's have a picnic in the graveyard. No one likes to be in less than one piece. So put my heart, valves, and limbs back in order, please. When you bury me, when you bury me, when you bury me, when you bury me, when you bury me.
This next song I dedicate to Matthew McLeod because I wrote it about him and for him, and now I'm playing it directly into his face, and I hope that he gets the message. It's called You're Not Special. I love you, Matt.
Every snowflake is indeed unique. If you look atomic deep, every flake has the same form as every other in the storm. Alien flakes in a ball of snow. We just call it a snowball, though, because all the small parts of the whole are completely interchangeable. So when you think you're one of a kind, think a minute and you will find
you're not special.
Saying, Philip, is I'm like a snowflake.
And then this last song Matt just requested because he wants to hear us play number two,
which Philip wrote.
Yeah.
that you call. Only when no one answers their phone. I don't wanna be with you because you're just scared to be alone. So go ahead and go to the bar. I hope you have a good time indeed. But when no one will take you home, don't try to come home to me. Be your backup man. Don't want to be your second chance. Refuse to be in love with you if I am just your number two. So tell me, looking in my eyes, I'm not your consolation prize. But if that's all I am to you, then baby, you and I are through. It's more than just a matter of trust. You came first when it came to us. And sure, I'm gonna miss you when you're gone, but then again, can't wait here while you go have fun. It's clear I'm not your number one. Women will string him along, and even if his mistakes him, he is mistaken if he thinks she loves him. He's wrong. Your backup man. Don't want to be your second chance. Refuse to be in love with you if I am just your number two. So tell me, looking in my eyes, I'm not your consolation prize. But if that's all I'll ever be, at least I'm not your number.
And that song features the outro music for Next at Bat.
That's right. Hello, it was good.
Yeah.
Next at Bat!
And that's our show. Thank you to Misery Street. Thank you to Philip and Amy for stopping by. You can check out Philip and Amy on their YouTube channel at
youtube.com/Misery Street Band.
You can also see them on Philip and Amy's Facebook pages if you happen to be friends with them. And if you don't happen to be friends with them, well, that sucks for you.
Just say, hey, let's be friends. I'll be friends with you.
That's sad, Philip.
I'll be friends with you.
Yeah, you will.
Hey, I'll be friends with you.
And we also want to be friends with you. Philip, can you tell them about us?
Yeah, you should be friends with Next at Bat. You can like us on Facebook. You can also send us an email at nextatbatpodcast@gmail.com.
And check us out on iTunes. Subscribe, rate, and review to the podcast. Sure, that helps us out a lot. Currently, I'm going to be doing Stage Match on Friday nights coming up pretty soon at the Brave New Workshop Student Union. Don't have dates for it yet, but it's going to be late September. I'm starting to do that. Also going to be doing some coaching over there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Also, I'll be doing a couple of improv go-go shows. I'm going to be doing a duo with Drew Kirsten called Drew and Matt because we're creative. Come see us. And also, we'll be doing a special super group improv go-go show.
Super group.
That's right. Philip, do you want to tell us more about that?
Yeah, we had so much fun when we had Shortcakes on the podcast.
That's right, we did. Those ladies are great.
Go back and listen to that episode. It was super fun. That when it was over, we said, hey, let's form a little group for Improv-A-Go-Go, and that is called Cake Batter.
It is. And so we're going to be doing some shows with Cake Batter, the two of us and the three ladies. And we're not quite sure what dates we're going to be doing for that yet either, but it's looking like either September or November, and we'll get back to you about that, but it's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm also in the next season of the Friday Night Stage Match. I do know my dates, but they're not for a while, so I won't bother telling you them. Also, check out youtube.com/Philip Simondet for my own personal music and Minimum Fare. Also, go check out Amy Lee Ray's personal channel, Amy Lee Ray, / it was before that, and then before that, .com, and then before that, YouTube. There's several ways that you can say it. The other way is youtube.com/AmyLeeRay.
Are there any other ways?
Yeah. You could say Amy is part of it in the middle, and then you is at the first part.
Uh-huh.
There's a dot between tube and com,
uh-huh,
which is after Amy.
Okay.
At the very end, Ray,
right before that
is Lee, uh-huh. L-E-E, and then R-A-E, and then there's a / in the middle between com and Amy.
Okay. And then in between Amy and Ray, there's a Lee?
Yeah, I said that. I did.
Did you?
I did. Mm. There's also another way, but...
Terrible at giving directions.
Amy Lee Ray.
And tune in next week when we're going to have another guest on this show. But until then,
praise Jibosh.